Blog Talk Radio.
Yes.
No matter what may come our way.
Greetings, family, and we welcome you to the Us Lifting Us Thursday night call. And tonight, we do have another very interesting and vital topic, and we definitely invite you to join the conversation and bear with us in terms of the audio, the music that was on, and then it cut off for whatever reason. But we're going forward, moving forward, because that's what we must do. And tonight, we've got a very interesting topic, that's a very vital topic, and the topic is Black male-female relationships, past, present, and future. And also joining us will be Baba Akebulon, who is the author of a book called Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate. Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate. And he will go into details of what that's about. And it's very important that you be here throughout the call to take heed and take note of this vital conversation that we're having tonight. And we're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dare to Win call. Dare to Win is a place where we have a sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build a global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. And if you are listening by telephone and you once we get started in about 15 minutes, you can join the conversation by dialing 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad when you've got your question or comment. And also, you can also listen to the Dare to Win call by internet radio, and you go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. And when you get to the home page, you look for the icon, the box up at the top that says Listen Ulu Radio. That will take you to the next page, and then you scroll down where it says Listen Live, and you click on Listen Live, so that you can enjoy this conversation and take vital notes by internet radio. And I am Brother Thurman. I'm a member of Us Lifting Us. And also joining us tonight is one of our guests is Sister Nanana, who's also a very loyal Us Lifting Us member. And later we will bring in our second guest. Sister Nanana, tell us how you're feeling and greet the audience.
Thank you so much, Brother Thurman, for the introduction. And I am very pleased to have the opportunity to address this subject this evening. So I hope our listening audience participates and lets us know their thoughts and their questions. So let's move ahead and get this subject going.
Good word, good word. Thank you so much, Sister Nanana. And family, this is a very vital subject, and definitely take notes so that we can go, we can take the information that we receive here and do better and create more unity, more harmony, and more family amongst our people wherever we are on the planet. Sister Nanana, you had came up with the title for tonight, Black Male-Female Relationships, Past, Present, and Future. What was what led you to choose this topic?
Well, thank you for that question, Brother Thurman. And what I will share with you and the listening audience is that this subject came to mind for me, and it's something that has been of concern for me for quite a while because of the fact that I see the subject of male and female relationships in our community as being sort of the elephant in the room, if you know what I'm saying. This is the subject area where so many of us are very aware that this is an area that we need to have a tremendous amount of healing in. This is a subject that that really should receive a lot of our attention, a lot of our focus, and that we as responsible adults need to be looking at in terms of what behaviors we need to change and the role modeling that we need to do for future generations. However, in my judgment, it's also a subject that receives very little, well, let me put it this way, very little attention that really brings to light the impact and the focal point of African consciousness, and certainly I don't think that it receives the attention that it should have. Our families and our abilities to have productive, meaningful, and satisfying relationships are at the core of our ability to move forward successfully in the future. And from the perspective of Us Lifting Us, as we are in the business of building this global economy, certainly we recognize that good, strong, productive, and meaningful relationships are part of the core foundation for a sound economic system and building that financial legacy that we want to pass on to future generations. So I just don't think that this is a subject that we can logically continue to avoid. And we must get the correct understanding of what the core of this issue is. And the core, well, I won't get into explanation around that, but that's what brought me to the conclusion of the importance of the subject tonight, is that I feel like we all are aware that we need healing in this area, but to step up and embrace it is another thing. So I'm saying let's, you know, acknowledge the elephant in the room and let's start doing some work to move forward and to have those meaningful relationships. Thank you.
Thank you. Family, take note as we delve further into this vital subject. Sister Nanana, you added past, present, and future to the subject title. What can you share about our relationships from past history?
Well, first of all, I'll start out by saying that I will not claim to be an expert by any means. So I'll speak from the level of knowledge that I have. I'm sure that Baba El-Kivalan will have more specific words of guidance and information that can speak in this arena. But from my perspective, we have to look at the past in order to really understand how we have gotten to the position that we're in right now. We need to understand that we as a people have a culture, a very vital and important culture that is part of us, that is, I would say, imprinted in our DNA. And as we have been thrust into Western culture and positioned in so many ways to not have knowledge of our original culture, the values, the mores that it supported, to be positioned in such a way that that in some instances we even began to believe that it was best that we step away from it and that we not acknowledge it. That culture from our past was designed specifically with certain virtues and structures around it to support meaningful and beneficial relationships between men and women, because that was the core of having the strong family unit was the core of everything else that follows after that, the community and the nation. So, you know, we have been forced to move from and to not acknowledge a culture wherein marriage in particular was a process for ensuring not only reproduction and passing of wealth and status, but it was also a process that ensured that our culture stayed intact. And the focal point of that was the household. The home was the hub of all social life and everything else in the community for the family, and then all of these households together made up these strong communities and nations of people. So when we look back on that and we compare that to what we have been thrust into, a situation whereby, you know, the whole idea of meaningful male and female relationships is really secondary to looking at strictly monetary gains, not focused on the well-being and the upbringing of children. It has just thrown us into a state of really decline as far as that's concerned. So going back to our past, I think, is important because it helps to give us a focal point for where we need to go. And so I hope I'm answering your question, Brother Thurman. I don't want to just keep going on.
Oh, yes, you are. And very, very helpful and also very troubling when you speak the reality about being in a decline. That's extremely dangerous and destructive to our people. And we've got to find corrective ways to eliminate that in our communities. Sister Nanana, on that note about that the decline, Baba Kebulon, who's on the line, he has written about the Western culture, and his book is called, is titled "Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate: An African Spiritual Union." And I want to you spoke about among your last things you said, Sister Nanana, was about things being in decline. And Baba Kebulon, the line is open. We want to get you to give some input from your thoughts as well as your book. And number one,
I'm going to give my thought. Go ahead. What you said?
Yes.
I would rather give my thoughts first before the questions, because once I give my thoughts, I may answer your questions, and then you may have new questions. So if you allow me to go ahead and speak, I will.
Yes, brother. So once again, his book is Divorce Western Culture and Not Your Mate. And go right ahead, Baba Kebulon.
All right. First, in the title, Black Male-Female Relationships, female should be first. Not as a means of superiority, but sisters take precedence because they were here first, and no man is here without women. If 100 men were in the room and there are no women, she would still be there because she gave birth to men. As a result of Western culture, we have a tendency to put male first. So I always start with the female and then the male. Second, I'm dealing with relationships, and I'm dealing with us needing to divorce Western culture. I don't believe the black woman's disrespect for the black man is a direct cause of the structure of the black family. Someone said this. I don't believe black women should be slapped in the mouth. A brother said the sister who said that must be right, because sisters are getting upset. I'm not about right and wrong. I'm about unity. If you are saying something that causes other members of the family to be upset, then we got a problem with that. So my position is to establish unity among sisters and brothers, because so often a sister blames a brother for his shortcomings and a brother blames a sister for her shortcomings, when the root cause of our problem is not each other. It's a culture alien to us. And as Brother Thurman mentioned, my title of my book is Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate, an African Spiritual Union. What is culture? Culture is the glue that binds the people together. A culture does for a people what fertilizer does to the soil. It cultivates the soil. It helps to make things grow. Culture helps people to grow. There are 7 to 9 aspects of people's culture: history, religion, political organization, social organization, economic organization, psychology, and creative motif, which is your arts, your music, dance, drama, literature, and poetry. And before I go further, I want to apologize to my dark-skinned sisters for passing over you because I wanted a red bone. You got to have to healing got to take place first. We can't blame each other until we look at ourselves. A red bone, for those of you who may not know, means a light-skinned sister. We're talking about past, present, and future. I would see a dark-skinned sister when I was in my teens, and I go, wow, she's fine. But she can't be. She's black. That's based on the miseducation. It's based on the media, and it caused a gap between the brothers and the sisters. And we got to own up to it. Sisters got to own up what they've done, and brothers got to own up to what they've done, what they've done. If a judge asks you, well, you speeding, you can't say, but Thurman was speeding. He didn't get that ticket. Under direct examination, you have to answer the question. So I have to fess up to what I was doing. We all had to fess up to what I was doing, what we were doing. And I'm often teased about why I never married. I never married. And I have two beautiful sisters, and my sisters, they keep it for real. They don't sugarcoat it. So I asked my sister a direct question. I said, how did women view me, a man who's never been married and don't have any children? And my sister responded, you're either a player or you're gay. I know you're neither, but you ask. And I responded like Farrakhan did when George Bush said, either you are with us or you're with the terrorists. And Farrakhan said, I don't get no wiggling room. I ain't with you, and I ain't with the terrorists. So my sister said, I said, I don't get no wiggling room. So I got to analyze myself, not to blame the sisters. I began to analyze myself, the things I did as a result of miseducation, past, present, and future. I started out very bashful. I still am. But then I went through this religious phase. After I passed it, I won a red bone stage. I went through this religious phase. I was a devoted Christian. Jesus is the one, is the only one, is the only way. And I looked at the Bible, and I hope I'm not offending anyone. I look at the Western version of Christianity, not the Egyptian or the Coptic version of Christianity. I'm looking at the Western version of Christianity, and I use that as a guide for relationships. And what stopped me from forming a spiritual union with a sister and eventually get married, I was bound by Matthew 5:32. And most people don't know what Matthew 5:32 is. It says, if a man divorces his wife for any cause other than her unfaithfulness, then he's guilty of making her commit adultery if she marries again. And a man who marries her commits adultery also. I memorized that passage. And that is what I use to judge relationships. I would have dinner with a fine sister, and she says to me, my husband used to beat me. I even had a brain hemorrhage. I looked in Matthew 5:32, and there was no provision for that. And she doesn't know that she's on the other side of the tape. She doesn't know this. But I'm saying to myself, you ain't going to make the cut. Now, I'm not that now. I'm not that way now. I'm telling you how I was. And we all may have similar stories because we do crazy things when we've been miseducated and we are in a Western culture. So I was miseducated. But now, Brother Kavanaugh, you're not miseducated. You know what happened. You read Miseducation of a Negro, and you read all those books about how we've been indoctrinated. So what's your excuse now? Well, I'm tired of people saying the same old reason for a relationship failing, sex and money. And they forget movement. You change your address, and you didn't tell anybody. My father was a former alcoholic. He said the hardest thing was getting his friends to accept the new him. They would say, oh, come on, take a drink. They didn't understand he had moved. Eventually, the relationship became estranged. So once you become African conscious, like most people are on this line, we're not the majority. We are the minority. And so the new me accepts you for whatever your religion is. I understand that's the role you take to get to the one. But that might not be the role I want to take. But most people, when you beat, they want you to follow what they are following. Also, this new me believes in matrilineal. I believe the brother should take the sister's last name. Brother, brothers have brothers have a problem with this. And I know this because I mentioned it numerous times, and brothers were silent about it because they want the child to take their last name, which I found a contradiction. Because the one answer you said, the name is not yours, it's a white man. But now you said you want your son to have that name. Now, I want to, I said this as a suggestion in my book for a reason. Not only is it spiritual, not only is it matrilineal, it's also political. Because they trace you by your last name. So if Nat King Cole married Tina Turner, and instead of her taking his last name, he took her last name, he'd be Nat Turner. And no one would be looking for him then. But men object to this. They don't want to take their wife's name. They don't even consider it. Even African conscious brothers have maintained that the wife take their last name. Even though with the same breath, they say it's not their name. It belongs to a slave master. Also, I want to be married traditional African and not in the eyes of the state of Georgia, the state of Virginia, the state of Alabama, because that's on the marriage license. I would want to be married a traditional African. Well, that's a movement. You change it because you represent a minority of thought. No one is thinking that way. To suggest that a man take a woman's name makes me the minority in thought. Very few are thinking that way and will be willing to accept that. Another thing is, I believe, and most Africans, once they come to some understanding, when they meet someone, you marry to the family. Now, I've been rejected before, like a lot of us. And one sister said to me, "We can't get together because I've known you for years. I know you and your family." And I responded, "That's it? Not my looks? Not my personality? Because you know me and my family?" She said, "That's right." And I said to myself, that got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because the African way is you want to know the family. It makes no sense to go to a club not knowing someone and starting from scratch. So when I said to the sister, "Let me talk to your daddy," that sounds strange today. Because from Western culture, you see somebody you like, you get with them, that's it. But to say you want a relationship with the entire family, that's a movement. You're not thinking like the majority of the people. You're not thinking in the box, you're thinking outside the box. So that's a solution. And to be short, that's a solution. We need to stop having platonic relationships. Plato was Greek. You're not Greek, you'd be African. We need to stop having romantic relationships. You're not Romans, you're African. We need to frequent in areas where people who think like us congregate. Repeat. We need to frequent in areas where people who think like us congregate, just like this forum we have right now. You are not going to find your mate on Match.com because majority on Match.com have a certain mindset. And they're not African. And they're not African conscious. The person doesn't have to be where you are because you wasn't always conscious. And we are not fully conscious. But the person has to be willing to learn and willing to grow. And I'm going to close with this, with Brother Sherman. Sherman asked me to share with you. I used to do an annual female and male relationship conference, an annual African female and African male relationship conference. And a strong African sister, whose name I will not mention, spoke at one of our conferences. She was divorced, but spoke highly of her ex-husband who had struck her and forced to dissolve the marriage. Knowing this powerful sister, she wasn't going to be used as a punching bag. But although they end up in a divorce, spoke highly of him, she said, "I was married to a good man. a good man, but his spirit was vested in someone else's culture, which is what my book is about. She said his spirit, the essence of being, was vested in someone else's culture. And I said, wow. If ever there were grounds for divorce, there was one. What if we had someone whose spirit was vested in African culture? What if we had a soulmate? Instead of calling it a romantic relationship, we could call it a soulmate, someone whose spirit is vested in African culture. With that said, brother, I'll take your questions, or comments, rather.
Oh, my goodness, brother. Family, just hold our thoughts. You've taken us on a journey. Just want to take a musical break, and we will be right back. Remember, we welcome you back and we want to continue the conversation. And we thank you so much for being with us tonight on the Us Lifting Us Dare to Win call. The topic is black male female relationships, past, present, and future. That was a topic that Sister Nanana brought forth to delve into tonight, very vital topic. And also, our second guest is Baba Akebulon, who is the author of Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate. And hopefully, family, that when Sister Nana opened up and Baba Akebulon came on, that you're taking notes, and we are hearing some very good information and thoughts, things that most of us have not talked about, haven't thought about, and we really need this kind of information. Baba Akebulon, you definitely brought some very interesting and very refreshing and sensible thoughts, including you, when you spoke about the sister that was wouldn't stay in a relationship because she wasn't going to continue to be a punching bag, but a sister that was has such beauty in her spirit that she left to stop being battered, but yet she had enough honor within her to say, I had a good man, but he was attached to the Western culture that caused a good man to lose a good woman, a good sister. Sister Nanana, Come forward with your thoughts, things that you've already talked about, and other things you have on your mind, along with any questions, comments related to what Baba Akebulon talked about in the last few minutes.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to share a little bit more, Brother Thurman. I appreciate that. And certainly Baba Akebulon has laid out many aspects of, has drawn up a very vivid picture for us. That's probably a better way to say it for us, of the circumstance that we're in right now. And certainly for us having been thrust into this Western culture, we need to recognize the negative impact that it has on us and make sometimes hard decisions to recapture our culture. I see that as the main way of survival for us, and a way for us to thrive going forward, is that we really do have to recapture what is ours. To address a little bit more, I spoke a little bit about the past, and the main thing that's coming up for me when I look at the present, what is going on right now here today, that is creating issues for us. And once again, it's a reflection of the culture. One of the main things that I believe is a problem creator for us in this culture is the manner in which men and women are thrust into even coming together to attempt to have a relationship. We have something in this culture that we have been thrust into that we've been told is appropriate and that this is the thing to do and this is the way to go about it. We have something that's called dating. And from my perspective, that is one of the most, or the single most detrimental process in this crazy Western culture attempting to put males and females together. In our traditional cultures, there was no such thing as a date. I mean, really, what is a date? What is that all about? In our traditional cultures, women and men, when they were at a point or at the age where it was acknowledged that it was appropriate and that it was time for them to step out and to start forming their own families and forming their own lives, the whole family, particularly the parents, participated in the process of assisting the male and the female to be positioned in such a way so that they could meet and be in the company of other males and females who were also at that same stage in life. And so it was understood from the beginning the seriousness of the relationship. So there was no playtime. See, in Western culture, we've been taught that this is a game. It's called the dating game. And it's just insanity. It is just complete insanity. If you've ever seen the dating game on TV, if you've just stepped back and think about what goes on in the process of dating, it is a constant and continuous cycle of one person, usually the male, approaching the female, and the whole driving point around that is not focused on really getting to know that person and to look at what a future life might be. Is there something that we can work on together? What do we have in common that we can build? That's not what it's focused on. It's focused on this head game of who can best the other person in terms of I made you fall for me, or you made me fall for you, and then the culmination of that being sexual intercourse. And so when we step back and look at that, that is total insanity. And we have gotten caught up in that, and our young people are caught up in that as well. And so that's where we are in the present, is that we are caught up in this whole process, and we are struggling to really understand how to pull back and step away from that. And the main thing that we have to do in order to pull away from it is that we have to acknowledge that as African descended people, that we are not part of this Western culture, and we just have to refuse to participate in it, which is sometimes difficult because that positions you so that you have to find others who are on the same path that you are on. And so that's what I would have to share as far as what I see as our current present condition. I also see that we have in our present condition, because of the journey that we have been on to free ourselves as much as possible and to try to position ourselves so that we could have rights and some privileges that we need to have just to have a decent life on a daily basis, we have gone through something called integration. And in my opinion, integration is one of the worst things that has ever happened to us. And in that integration process, we now find ourselves in a situation where for some of us, our first choice for a mate is not someone who looks like us, someone from our community, someone who resembles our father or our mother, but someone who is just the opposite, who is from the community of those who literally have oppressed and dominated us. And we are not able to see the sickness when we have a preference to choose those mates. And so our present condition is one that demands a lot of attention in terms of the healing process. So, you know, I'll end with that allow an opportunity for Baba El Kivalan to add any comments that he might have in terms of our present condition. Thank you.
Yes.
And yeah,
thank you,
Sister Mama.
Yes, brother. Yes, just a minute.
Yeah, veggie back to what my compliment said. She said so much that I agree with, right? She mentioned affirming African culture, but while we affirm African culture, we also have to dismantle Western culture. Otherwise, we'll take a step forward and we pull back too. So we got to do that, right? She mentioned dating, which a lot of times leads to sex. And if y'all don't like each other, you end up, you're not marketable. So the reason you have to have dating in this in a Western culture because you don't have the African concept. See, the African concept, your parents checked out the family, checked out the relationship between that mother, that son or that daughter, the relationship between the father and the son, or the mother and the daughter, and vice versa, you know. Also, the family saw whether this person was a contributing factor in their family. Was the person a worker? Was the person lazy? They took all that into consideration and found so much more during that moment than you would in dating. And then they would introduce you to this person. And if you don't like that person, well, you probably get someone else. But then you're still marketable. Whereas the dating, it's mostly a physical thing, and two, three days, then you have sex, and then you're no longer marketable. So the Africa thing is so much mature and so much important. Also, we didn't touch on children. I want to talk on children because in Africa, you want children. You welcome children. And a lot of times brothers would judge her sister because she has a child. You know, brothers should say stuff like that. A more important question would be, do you spend time with a child? Do you take a, does child go to the dentist? Do you participate in school activities? Do you go to parent and teacher conference? Do you stay on top of the teachers, make sure they are not, you know, miseducated? And because you marry the whole family, right? But we ask the wrong questions, and we best ask questions based on what's been dictated to us by Western culture. And it's so much a part of our subconscious mind, we just do it, and we don't think about it. So there's a lot of things I'm sure that I made mistakes on, and we'll continue to make mistakes, but I do look at myself, you know, and I analyze myself. But over here, we're quick to blame the other party. Brothers are quick to blame the sisters. Sisters are quick to blame the brother, right? Like you said, the sister that at my conference, right, her husband, you know, put his hands on her, but she knew that he really wasn't that way. He had adopted a culture, but not adopted a culture, but he was a part of culture that's alien to us. And until we realize that the way things are done in the West are not things that's going to help us grow as a people.
All right. Thank you, brother. And thank you, Sister Nanana. And before we go further in the conversation tonight, we do have a family member that's got a question or comment, and we want to open up the phone line. And caller with the last four numbers, 3440, 3440, please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from with your question or comment.
Greetings, Brother Thurman, Sister Nana, and Baba Akebulan. This is Brother Shabaka. I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Really, I'm learning a lot from the program tonight. I got a couple questions I'd like you all to respond to. Some of it was following up what Sister Nana said about if you manage to turn on the TV before you get a headache to turn it off, you see a lot of commercials, and the commercials are usually have family, but the families are black man, white woman, white male, black woman, or something like that. You know, in other words, the acceptable mate is somebody from the other culture. I'd like you all to I've seen it more frequently lately, and I'd like you all maybe to comment on that. The other thing is that, you know, there's a lot of programs on the African continent and here which are attempting to pull sisters into entrepreneurship, money-making activities, both here on the continent. And I know at one time the sisters was heavily engaged in agriculture, subsistence agriculture, such that, you know, they were responsible for basically the food, you know, of the continent. But now Africa is importing over 50% of their food. So I'd like you to comment on that. You see any relationships, the pros, bad, cons of that international aspect of money's coming in to it seems to take us from the land and allow us, in my interpretation, to just focus on entrepreneurial skills, which are to deal with machinery imported by the West, but at the same time take us away from the land. And the cities, the way they're structured down on the continent here, is to take us away, both male and female, away from the land. If you could comment on that, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, the Shabaka. Sister Nanana, we'll start with you.
Yes, thank you. And thank you so much, Brother Shabaka, for your questions. First of all, as far as the commercials on TV are concerned, I think we all have noticed that there's definitely an increase in the commercials on TV representing what is being touted as the interracial couple. We note that an Asian person married to a Hispanic person, it is not identified as the consummate or the ideal interracial couple. A Hispanic person in relationship with a European is not identified as the consummate or the ideal interracial couple. The ideal interracial couple has been identified, first of all, as a African descended, a black male in relationship with a Caucasian or European female, and then secondly, an African descended female in relationship with a European or white male. This is part of the brainwashing process that is ongoing for us, and we need to be smart enough to realize that that's what it's about. Primarily is to keep us thrown off track and to send us a not-so-subtle message that this is the route to go, because that interracial marriage in no way contributes to the maintenance of the culture that is going to ground us and to help us to move forward. The other thing, the unfortunate part, and we have to, you know, we have to fess up and say this is really what's happening. And I wish I could, I don't know if I jotted down that data. I did do some research before we had our, in preparation for this today. But we as a ethnic group of people, we marry and pick for mates more often outside of our ethnic group. We do that more often than any other ethnic group. Okay, we select a partner who does not look like us more often than anyone else. And so for me, what that says is that that's part of our emotional and our spiritual illness. That's part of our disconnect with who we are. That's part of our internalized racism. It represents all of that, and it certainly going forward represents a very deep level of confusion for any children that might come about as a result of that relationship. It simply is something that is not beneficial, period. And so, once again, it's part of the cycle that we're caught in. And I'll try to move quickly. You asked a question about what's going on the continent. And, yeah, there was a time when the women ran the marketplace. Yeah. And especially in the area of agriculture, and that is all shifting on the continent now, and that's not good because it's putting the women in positions whereby they are taking primarily jobs in the tourist industry, the hospitality industry, which means they're, you know, coming into the towns and the cities to work as maids in the hotels, dishwashers in the restaurants and things of that nature, and it is really breaking down that traditional culture that we had, because the women were the ones who really knew, okay, how much do we need to grow, who needs to have what, how do we divide this between this community and the other community, because the women were the ones who had their finger on the pulse of what was needed by the next generation and the generation after that, as well as what was needed by the elders. And so they made those decisions, and they were the ones who really ran all of the marketplaces. And that is all being shifted on the continent now, and I don't know what else to say about that, except that my observation is that it is not a positive thing. And the men are looking for jobs in industry wherever they can find them, and sometimes they are few and far between. The Chinese in particular have cut these deals with the politicians to come over and build roads. They buy out the politician who gives them the contract to come over and build the road, and part of the contract is that they bring all of their own workers. You know, I've been there, and I've seen the road building going on for miles and miles and miles and miles, and there is not one Black African descended person, male or female, who's employed. The only ones who are employed building the roads are other Chinese. And so, you know, we see all of that going on the continent, and these are the kinds of things that are creating, wreaking economic havoc for us, and that we have to find a way to start turning around. And I think that we will see that that is happening because some of these politicians from the old school are now, the people are now saying no more. They're getting them out of office. So I'm thinking that we'll see that change as time moves forward. So I'll stop now and give opportunity for Baba El-Kabilan to make his response. Thank you.
Thank you, sister.
Hi, about the part about the television program, that's not a relationship. I mean, it's one person with power with somebody who lacks power. So that's not a relationship. A lot of times you have a basketball player who makes a lot of money, and then you have a European woman. So it's an economic thing. She's going to get his money, like the case with Tiger Woods. It's an economic component. But I've never seen a wealthy white woman and a Black person. I've never seen that match up. But I've always seen the Black male and the white woman, and when the relationship goes sour, she gets all the money. So it's an economic point to that. I think if you up to if you're successful as far as material is concerned, right in here, you can, this is what you get for, that's what the King Kong story was about. Once you make it up the corporate ladder, you get Miss Thing. So I guess that's what that's about. As far as the if I'm clear on what the brother was saying about the agricultural thing, it happens similar to over here. If you look at the old movies, it kind of tell you what the society is about. At one time, the women were in the home raising the children, and the men was out working. The economic situation changed. That one salary wasn't enough, so both came outside the house and started working. And so that's probably what's happening over in the continent now with industrialization. People coming out the house of work, and so that's all that I can think of that's happening now. So
good, thank you, brother. But Baba Kevilan, as our time is running out, your book, Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate, the picture And anybody that has not seen the cover of the book, it's on the Us Lifting Us page for today about tonight's call. But a picture of the front cover of the book. There's a picture of a European with his hands on top of the brother's head and holding his jaws, almost like he was taking over. Tell me what's the meaning
of
that?
Before you put stuff on paper, it's in your head first. And uh-huh. So I kept seeing Carter G. Woodson's book, The Miseducation of a Negro, where you had a clamp on, I don't know if it was a brother or sister on the front of the book. They got shackles around their head. All right. So I wanted something similar to that, where you have an African and European hand just forcing all that Western culture inside him. Yeah. So that's basically what it is. And
yes.
I started explaining it in the book, right? But for the Africans, the abstract people, I'd rather leave it up to the person who's looking at it, because they might see something that I didn't see, or they might see it for different respect. But my intentions was to show a set of grips, white grips, and question this African, the African mind, actually pouring all the European, this Western culture in them. So it's similar to what Kaji Wish was saying. We got shackles on our minds. And my thing was kind of reinforcing that. So that's what I did.
Good, good. Sister Nanana, before we close out, how do you see the quality and strength of a relationship relating to financial stability or not?
Well, I see that that a strong relationship between female and male definitely forms the fertile ground that we need to move forward to rebuild a economy, a cooperative economy that is designed specifically for us. So part of our healing process that we need to go through to have female and male relationships to be productive, to be meaningful, to be the place where the culture is preserved, that is also going to be the foundation of how we move forward with cooperative economics. One of the things that Ulu puts out front and emphasizes very much is that, you know, we promote what's called, what we have coined as family-centered economics, that it has to be focused around the family, the well-being of the family, and not only that, but the generational well-being, that when you are developing and creating a sound financial structure, you're not doing it just for right now today. You're doing it for generations to come. So this is just kind of a long way around for me to say that these two things go hand in hand, and I really don't see how we can have one without the other, particularly when we're talking about the true cooperative model. If we're talking about moving forward with a capitalistic mindset, that's a little bit different, but that's not where Us Lifting Us is headed. We are definitely moving forward and making a way and building towards global cooperative economics, and the family is at the center of that, because the family will benefit and give back to the community, have the ability to give back into the community through the cooperative model, not in any other means. And that's how we're going to preserve our culture. So I hope I've answered your question.
Yes, you did. And family, we've definitely had a very good, vital conversation, and we need to continue that. And as our time is winding down, we do have another caller on the line. The last four numbers is 5259, 5259. Please give us your name. Tell us where you're calling from with your question or comment.
Hello, Brother Thurman. This is Brother Jelani Ukwele. And hello, Sister Nana and Brother Akebelon.
Oh,
I'm really enjoying the conversation.
Good.
I wanted to make a comment and to agree with something that Sister Nanana had said, and when she was talking about the integration and how it really was major in throwing things off for us and destroying us. And that's key when it comes to what it really was from the standpoint of the school system. It threw off our ability to reach and to teach our children and to pass on our values. I mean, it's one thing to be miseducated, like in a religious type of way, because that's already, you know, not necessarily us. But when you have the children right there and you're miseducating them, or you're not there to educate them, then that throws off the support and the molding of the community themselves. And so when it comes to, like, young men, I think one thing that we should look at is men, boys, know almost nothing about women and girls. And I think women don't realize that, too. And the last thing that I wanted to say, it goes even deeper when it goes to understanding what men think of as far as what womanhood is. And like Brother Akebelon was saying, when he was saying pretty well that woman is God, really, womanhood is God. And I think a lot of us, even women themselves, don't really realize the extent of their responsibilities and their place in nurturing the children and the community itself. So that, I'll just leave it right there. But I thank y'all for helping letting me say something.
Thank you, brother. Always for your loyalty. And family members, our time is running out. Sister and Brother Jelani said something that would be delved with into the next conversation related to the relationships about men don't really know women, and a lot of women don't know men, and because the solution that our ancestors had and some in Africa still have is that rites of passage for the woman to learn how to be a woman through rites of passage, and the same thing for the brother. And Sister Nanana, quickly, your response to anything that Brother Jelani said, and followed by Bob Tebulon.
Thank you for this opportunity, and I will be brief. Yes, we do need to recapture and learn about ourselves, and it is true that by losing our rites of passage, that has been so detrimental to us. So recapturing that in any way that we can, rites of passage for females and rites of passage for men, has to be brought back into our communities big time. Something that I can share with you is Sister Scheherazade Ali. Several years ago, I think it was back in 89, she wrote a book called The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman. That book, I believe, is still available. At one time, it was very popular, and I judge that there's a lot of good information in that book, and she's written several others around relationships also. And then Baba El Kabilan's book, Divorce Western Culture, Not Your Mate, so that we can truly understand the importance of the role of culture, and that we need to recapture our culture, and we start to understand what to focus on. And we can stop the blame game. That's what I call it. It's to point the finger past the blame, you know? And the loss of the culture has been so detrimental to us. That doesn't mean that we don't have personal responsibility. Surely some of our behavior is bad behavior, and we have to take personal responsibility. But also we've learned a lot of how to be bad. And sometimes when that's presented to us, that helps us to step away from it. So those would be my closing comments, and thank you so much for the opportunity to speak. It's been an exciting conversation.
Thank you. Baba Kabilan.
I welcome the brother's comments, because I did work at Juvenile Miss Correctional Center, and I forgave the man the male's rites of passage. The sister got a powerful book by the woman's rites of passage, and I let the boys read that book, because the question came up, if her body is ready at 11 years old, why can't we have sex and have children? And I said, well, your body's ready and her body's ready, but because of Western culture, the mind is lacking. See, so because it's not a adult wouldn't a 12-year-old adult wouldn't have a child and say, all right, mama take care of it, or mama provide for it. So what happens is your body says, yes, it's ready, but because of Western culture, you're lacking behind. Where in another culture, in African culture or Asian culture, you may have been 12 or 13 years old and got a house, working. Providing for in the field. So by we being over here in the West, yes, naturally your body's ready, and the brothers read the when their body's ready, they read when the sister's body's ready. But because of Western culture, your mind ain't ready. You know what I mean? You don't have a child to help. Mom, you take care of it. That's not a decision an adult would make.
All right, brother.
May I?
Family.
May I add,
yes.
I just have to add one small thing to what Baba El Kabilan has just shared, and I know that we're a little bit over time, but it's, you know, the conversation continues to to go on. We have to realize that in Western culture, see, these people, they didn't invent all kind of stuff. Okay, They invented adolescence. There is no such thing as adolescence. When you study Aboriginal and Indigenous cultures, you are either a child or you are an adult. And when you become an adult, you are expected and you have been trained to do the things that adults do and to take on the responsibility that adults take on. It is Western culture that has created this thing that's called adolescence, where you're kind of in that in-between world. And in what are so-called primitive cultures, they were real clear. These people were smart. You're either a child or you're an adult. And once you pass over into manhood and once you go through rites of passage and you are into womanhood, you are expected to do the things that women do and to act in the manner that women act. And the young men are expected to do the same things. And they are set up in positions so that they can do that. They have a plot of land. They are expected to grow crops and to feed the family. They are expected to do other things. So here again, it's about the culture. They're the ones who invented adolescence. We didn't. And so just something else to think about.
We need to hear that. I'm glad let you say that. We need to hear that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Family, we've had a very informative conversation. and there's more. We need to, of course, continue this conversation. And the word for tonight, Sister Nanana brought it forth about the black male-female relationships, past, present, and future, and Baba Kebilon's book, which we all agree that we must divorce Western culture and not our mate. And so the subject for us to do and stay on it is to divorce Western culture, and we are going to make it. We are going to make it. Be determined. We're going to make it.
No matter what may come our way,
we are going to make it all through.
We will lift every voice and say,
we are going to make it all through.